Well, I can attest that is the most flattering introduction any of our grad speakers has been given in these 23 years of Western Seminary commencements. And it is a deep privilege to be part of Western Seminary. I want to start with congratulating our graduates. Way to go, woohoo. My kids, I'm so proud of you. Today marks a milestone of a tremendous accomplishment, surviving lots of courses, more than just the one that gets all the, okay. You've done well through many, many courses. And I know I speak for all your teachers when I say it's been our exquisite privilege to walk with you through these years. When I was approaching the end of my MDiv studies, I remember just, a week or two before graduation, one of the profs said in class that we were now ready to pastor. And naive guy that I am, it hadn't occurred to me to think about that. Really? Me? A pastor? Are you serious? Who knew? Today or sometime in the next few weeks, you will receive that official document that says that you have completed all the requirements and you are hereby conferred some master's degree. But don't let anyone tell you that it's that certificate that qualifies you to pastor. Now, a word to the MFTs and others of you that are not intending to enter the pastorate. I'm still addressing this to you as well. I'm wanting to speak today about shepherding in a generic sense. And pastoring is not just what pastors do. You, every one of you new grads, you are already the closest thing to a shepherd to somebody in your life. You've got to accept that. Deal with it. God has called you, and you must not shirk that calling. I want to talk about shepherding as a spiritual task rather than as a church position. And I hope in this to deliver you pastor types from a corrupted concept of church leadership, which actually has invaded our circles. There are several biblical passages that speak in different ways to this topic of shepherding. In the Old Testament, the expression shepherds of Israel encompasses three classes of leadership of that nation: the king and his administration, the priesthood, and prophets, both true and false prophets. And these prophetic messages speak to contemporary leaders as well as speaking of prophesied future days. I'm thinking especially of Jeremiah chapter 23, Ezekiel 34, Zechariah 11. You can check those at your leisure sometime. These especially have important words for these shepherds, what shepherding is about. In the New Testament, a few better-known passages are John 10, the Good Shepherd, and John chapter 21, where Jesus recommissions Peter, feed my sheep. And Acts chapter 20 tells of Paul's message to the elders and pastors of the church of Ephesus, summarizing his time in Ephesus as model shepherding. We could go to 1 Peter 5 and Ephesians 4 and all the way through the three pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Fundamental in all of these Old and New Testament teachings about shepherding is the analogy of the menial task of tending real sheep. You feed them, you water them, you protect them. The image is that domesticated sheep are defenseless, vulnerable, incapable of surviving on their own. They require the diligent attention of a shepherd. Let me start then with a couple of quick hit principles, and then I want to camp on a couple others. First of all, sheep are desperately dependent. And that includes the brightest, the super accomplished, the very successful ones in our congregations. They're just lambies. And they desperately need wise shepherding. Don't forget that. Shepherds feed sheep. The spiritual analogy here is pretty obvious. Teaching the revealed truth. Speaking for God. We will come back to this one. Shepherds also guard sheep because there are wolves out there. And often those wolves dress up as sheep. Sheep are not well served by shepherds that are naive or gullible. Nor are good shepherds cowardly. Wolves are vicious, but they are no match for the chief shepherd. Shepherds must be fearless. Shepherds must fear only the good shepherd. Shepherds pray for their sheep. Acts chapter 6, Peter says, we cannot leave the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the word to serve these tables. The real danger, the real need is spiritual. The real power is spiritual. And shepherding is not a job. It's a life purpose. It's an identity. Jesus refers to the kind that see it as a job. He calls them hired hands. He calls them mercenary. They're on the job only as long as things are not too tough, and they show up on payday. They're in it for themselves. To them, shepherding is not an inescapable calling. I want to dwell, though, on a couple other key points. First of these comes from John 21. The account of Jesus engaging Peter in that poignant, very brief dialogue. John, the author, told of the Lord's prediction of Peter's denials. Described that in chapter 13. And then in chapter 18, he describes the fulfillment of that prediction. As true to Jesus' word, Peter denied Jesus, not once, not twice, three times. And now in chapter 18, in chapter 21, he revisits that and rounds out that story in a way that the other gospels do not. Jesus was not subtle in this account. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. Feed my sheep. And then it goes that same dialogue, round two, and identical, round three. And he follows that up then with, follow me. The author means for us, shepherds, to identify with Peter, this three-time loser. This is God to every shepherd from John's day to this. The primary requisite for shepherding is to love the shepherd. And that includes following him. Jesus didn't give Peter a theology exam. He didn't ask to see his diplomas. This was not some stereotypical ordination. Notice what else he didn't ask. Do you love sheep? Do you love goats? He said, do you love me? And Peter's answer was yes, yes, yes. But that last yes was not triumphant. It was broken. For that third round of the dialogue was the Lord's gentle, indirect way of calling attention to Peter's failures, his denials. But wonderfully, the Lord's response was not, loser, be gone. To the contrary, it was one of restoration, recommission, and trust. Love the shepherd, the main qualification of a shepherd. Second, you are not what the sheep need. You have no words of wisdom to bless them apart from the word of the shepherd. You may be shepherd, but when it comes to opinions, you're just one of the sheep. The only opinion they need for you to share with them is his. And it should go without saying that sheep don't need for their shepherd to entertain them. So what you have begun to learn as a student here at Western, you must continue to practice, continue to learn, that is, to listen to the shepherd. Shepherds must always remember they are not the shepherd. We must be careful never to succumb to some Messiah complex. You cannot do what only he can do. You are not anybody's savior. None of us is the healer, even if someday somebody calls you therapist. The sheep need to hear the shepherd's sure word. And you had better be able to get it. In case you didn't notice, one of the primary curricular elements of a degree from Western Seminary is Bible. Yes, we start with hermeneutics. And we move from there to surveying, Genesis through Revelation, because it's all from God, and God means for all of us, it's need-to-know time. And from there to exegesis. We didn't create those courses just to give us jobs, okay? Or to give you grief, or to give you bees. I don't ever want to hear that you have abandoned your own rigorous study of the Bible itself. After all, you spent all this money and burned up all those brain cells to acquire tools and skills for studying the Bible for yourself. If some sad day you find that you have abandoned those critical skills, fallen prey to laziness, please do the world a favor and just go get an honest job. Shepherds do not plagiarize sermons. They hear from the shepherd himself, and that's how they feed the sheep. Remember, this is about the scriptures. All revelation is ultimately God revealing himself. Yes, you knew that one. When you study the scripture and teach it, you have not finished your job. You have not finished if you haven't at least looked for how God is displaying and disclosing himself. Jesus' sheep hear his voice and follow him. How much more do the shepherds listen and follow? Third, your mission as shepherd will be successful only to the extent that you seek to please the shepherd, not the sheep, not the goats. We seek the praise of the shepherd, not that of other shepherds. Remember this one from Proverbs 29, the fear of man brings a snare. Living to please others is a trap. Pastoring to impress and please anyone but the chief shepherd is a trap. Jesus said it's the hypocrites who want to be noticed by men in their charity and their praying and their fasting. They are concerned only for the praise of men. If I could add just one verse to the Bible, just kidding, it would be something like this. And do not do your preaching for the praise of men. It is especially here that we shepherds are tempted by the lust for the approval of men. It's a trap. That's the fear of man. Finally, pursue. Seeking the shepherd is never a means to an end. We don't pursue the shepherd so that we can be good pastors. Knowing the shepherd is the end. There is nothing higher. All else that is good is a byproduct of knowing him. and there is plenty of byproduct. But the byproducts are not the end. They are not the target. We don't study Bible and do our exegesis to get a sermon. We do it to meet God. We don't pray in order to be transformed or sanctified, as wonderful as that, as important as that is, or even to help sheep become more godly. We seek the shepherd because he is life itself. Edifying sheep, not the end, not an end. It's a byproduct. Pastoral success. Being a pastor that everyone buzzes about may someday be a byproduct, but it's never the target. Conformity to the image of the shepherd is also byproduct. Even that is not the target. That is, we seek the shepherd not so that we can be better people, not so that we can be good, helpful pastors, not so that anything else. We seek him because that is what life is. We seek him because he is wonderful. Anything that brings is bonus. Anything that brings is certainly good, very good. But we follow him because we need him. We love him, we follow him, we seek him, and we can't help but be so focused on him, even obsessive about Jesus, the Magnificent One, that we cannot but preach him in every sermon, in every lesson. The shepherd, as it turns out, is the ruler of all, the maker of everyone. In this room, he is supreme, and so we worship him. He is wonderful, he is amazing, and so we worship him. There you have it. Good shepherding is a byproduct. It is the byproduct of adoring the Good Shepherd. Peter, do you love me?